It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later, we'll find out why the avocado has risen to superstar status in American food and the problems that's creating for producers.
First, the Toma Veterans Affairs Hospital announced a 30-day plan this week to improve operations. The announcement comes after months of allegations that the center was overprescribing opiates to veterans, leading to patient death, and that administrators retaliated against whistleblowers on the staff.
The plan is aimed at improving communication and relationships between veterans and VA staff, but some politicians already say it isn't going far enough.
Aaron Glantz joins us now. He's the veterans reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting, who initially broke the story back in January. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So as you see it, Aaron, how big a step is this plan in restoring the credibility and the image of the Toma VA?
I'd say overall, this is a pretty insignificant development. Basically, the VA announced that they're going to have a bunch of meetings over the next month to improve morale and care. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have worked for organizations where their company had a lot of meetings, and sometimes it's helpful, but usually it's not. That doesn't mean that the VA isn't moving to solve these problems, but I think sometimes they get a little carried away with their press releases.
Well, they're billing them as listening sessions, and I guess that's a good sign that they're receptive to hearing what people have to say. What do you think could come out of a listening session like that?
You know, I'm not sure. One of the problems that existed at the Toma VA before was this culture of retaliatory management that the chief of staff of the hospital, David Houlihan, he's the psychiatrist that was referred to as the candy man because he was so quick to dole out the narcotics to veterans, and he's currently being investigated by the Drug Enforcement Administration, by the VA itself, and by the state of Wisconsin for his prescription practices, and he was one of the physicians who was responsible for the death in the psychiatric ward of a former Marine in August of last year. He's been removed, so that's good. His boss, the head of the hospital, Mario DeSantis, who you know, in a lot of the reporting seemed to be kind of out to lunch to all these problems, he's also been removed from his post. One of the psychiatrists on the psychiatric ward who's being investigated in connection with the death, Dr. Rhonda Davis, she's been removed. So a lot of the people who have been implicated directly in the scandal have been removed. The VA is continuing to investigate the situation, so they're still getting paid your tax dollars in the meantime, but they're not treating any veterans. And the new person, who used to be in Madison, who was put in to head the Toma VA on an interim basis, as you mentioned, is now holding these meetings. So, you know, it's certainly not a bad thing, but how good is it? Only time will tell.
Now, what you were getting at there was a sense that the VA needs a culture change in this Toma facility. What would a culture change look like? You mentioned the removal of some top officials who may have been contributing to the culture there. So what else needs to happen to have a culture change?
Well, I mean, I think that the accountability is really key in the VA, not just in Toma and Wisconsin, but nationally. It's a big problem. There's so many people at the VA who really care about veterans, who are trying to do a great job for people who are coming home from war, who've dedicated their lives to you know, helping people make this transition. And then you have people like Dr. Houlihan, whose medical practices seem to really hurt veterans. And I think the number one thing that people are looking for, both at the hospital itself, in the community, and then in Washington, is they're looking to see how the accountability will be dealt with. And that will also send a message to the people who work at the hospital now. Let them know that if they do a good job treating veterans, if they help veterans stay healthy and recover from war, that they'll get promoted and raises and generally be treated well. And that on the other hand, if you know, if they fail veterans, if they hand out like narcotics, like their candy, if they deliver substandard care that results in deaths, that they'll face punishment. And I think that's the number one thing that people are looking for. The VA has done a number of things in response to all the scrutiny that have kind of indicated that they're looking towards holding people accountable. But, you know, we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
Now, other parts of the plan, as reported by Wisconsin Public Radio, an ethics fair and an emphasis on improving the relationship between the staff's union leaders and medical center management. Do those things, do you think, perhaps equal an effort toward greater accountability like you're describing the need for?
Well, I think that the increased communication with the union is a very important step because one of the things that we uncovered in our investigation is that for years, the union, which is representing the dedicated, you know, nurses, psychologists, other people who provide direct service to veterans, were bringing these concerns to the hospital management, bringing their concerns also to their congressmen and senators, bringing their concerns to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and that every time they would try to get the attention of folks and say, hey, there's a big problem here, they would just be brushed aside and ignored. And it wasn't until everything blew up in the media that politicians and VA officials began to pay attention. So if the VA is making an effort to improve relations with the union, it also means that they're increasing efforts to listen to the healthcare providers who treat veterans when they say there might be a problem. And I'd say that's probably a good thing.
We're talking with Aaron Glantz right now, veterans reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting, talking about the Tomah VA Hospital's 30-day plan to try and improve operations. And Aaron, what do we know about political reaction to this 30-day plan so far?
You know, Senator Ron Johnson, you know, who he, as you know, chairs the Senate Oversight Committee, which has been looking into this from an investigatory point of view since we broke the story back in January. He said it's basically too little, too late. You know, I think other politicians are, you know, they have more of a wait and see attitude. I have noticed that there has been an increasing amount of legislation proposed in Washington that's designed to fix this problem. Congressman Ron Kind has a number of bills, most of which have been co-sponsored with other members of the delegation. So I think that I'd say that the politicians are on it. I'd say that the VA is on it. I've been pretty impressed that, you know, the different powerful factions in the story, be it the administration or the politicians from the Democrat or the Republican Party, that they haven't let it go as an issue, even as it kind of recedes from the front page of the paper. All parties seem interested in solving the problem, but this development of the 30-day plan is not really the end of the story. We're still kind of in the middle of it.
Now, you mentioned Senator Ron Johnson saying effectually too little, too late. He's also pointed to concern that PTSD treatment has not been addressed in the plan. Do you know anything more about what his concerns are there?
You know, one of the things that we've noticed, not just in Tomah, but across the country, is that these narcotics are frequently being prescribed to people with mental health issues. And this is absolutely contrary to the VA's own regulations. So just so your listeners understand, narcotic painkillers, so these are opiates, they're similar to heroin, morphine, oxycodone, hydrocodone, which is the generic form of Vicodin. They basically are designed to make you not feel that much physical pain. And they're also highly addictive and you know, can lead to suicide and overdose amongst people with mental health conditions. One of the things that's a problem at the VA is that even though the VA regulations say that doctors should be especially conservative in prescribing these medications to people with mental health problems, that in fact those are the very people who are getting more of these drugs than anyone else. And another problem is that The VA is prescribing a lot of these drugs, not just Entoma nationally. They told a congressional hearing earlier this year 100,000 veterans nationwide are receiving not only opiate painkillers, but they're receiving it at the same time that they're receiving these muscle relaxants and tranquilizers called benzodiazepines, like Valium and Xanax, for example. That also puts people at a risk for overdose. And again, these are people frequently with mental health conditions. So, you know, everyone wants to know, is the VA, both Entoma and nationally, going to be able to roll out treatments that are effective in treating these conditions that they know exist and that they sometimes make available, or are they going to continue to rely far too much on these extremely powerful and abusable medications?
Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That was Aaron Glanz, veterans reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting. He joined us to talk about the Toma VA Hospital's 30-day plan to try and improve operations.